Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Oh yeah, you've been missing that live studio audience. We haven't had one in a while. Super, super excited to have our live studio audience here with us as we record another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all your feedback. Thank you for all of those communications to me about our pipes. Yes. For those of you who have been on the edge of your seats all week wanting to know how the Garfinkel service line pipes are. That's a nice way of saying your sewer line, but they're called service line pipes. Thank God they have had a refuah shlema, a full recovery. Bli ayin hara. We hope that they will continue to feel good, will no longer need any more medical treatment from our plumber, and we're very grateful for all of you who inquired how we are doing. So, yes. All is good, and hopefully we'll stay that way. Now, want to give a huge mazel tov to Benny and Jenna Ginsburg on the brisos, the britot, the brisim. Actually, it's britot, to be honest, of their baby boys. Yes, it was a beautiful, beautiful simcha today, and really, you know, new parents going from zero children to two children was super special. So mazel tov to Gavriel and Teddy being brought into the bris of Avram Avinu. We give you a bracha that you should grow in Torah, to Torah, chuppah, and masim tovim, good deeds. Should be stellar members of the Jewish people, upholding the values, traditions, and laws that have kept us a people for the last 3,800 years, starting with Abraham himself and his circumcision. You're in a beautiful club now. Welcome to the team, and we give you only wonderful, sweet blessings. All right, we have a fascinating topic tonight. We are going to be talking about second chances. Yes, second chances. In life, people want second chances. All right. So let's talk first, before we get to second chances, let's talk about mitzvahs. How do mitzvahs work? Now, people think, I remember my grandmother, blessed memory. I do a mitzvah, take out the garbage. Well, she actually didn't sound like that because she was not from New York. But do a mitzvah, any good deed became a mitzvah. Now, that is true that many good deeds can be a mitzvah, but a mitzvah is much larger, much broader and deeper than just a good deed. There's certain mitzvahs that have nothing to do with acting kindly. Eating kosher food is maybe a nice thing, but it's not necessarily acting kindly, etc., etc. Okay, mitzvahs are specific in time, place, manner of how you fulfill them. We put tefillin on the weekdays, but not on Shabbos. Right? Any mitzvah that you have, some mitzvahs are done by just men, some are done just by women, some are co-ed, some are just by Kohanim, priests, some are just by Levim, the Levites. The who, what, when, where, and how are all delineated. And that makes sense because a mitzvah, really the source of the word mitzvah is tzav. Tzav means connection, a tzevet. You will hear Israelis talk about the tzevet at the summer camp or in the army. The tzevet is a team, is the staff. It's a unit of people. It's connected people who are working together. So a mitzvah is a tzav. Every time we do a mitzvah, we are connecting ourselves to the Almighty. And therefore, you don't connect in a vague way. You connect in a specific way. Now, specifically when we're talking about holidays, Jewish holidays, which is going to be the focus, really, of what we're going to be talking about today, is holidays are called moedim. A moed comes from the word ya'ad or va'ad, really, which means a committee or a meeting. A va'ad is a group of people who are coming together at a specific time and place to work on issues. And therefore, a moed is nothing more. A Jewish holiday called a moed is nothing more than a meeting with God. It's the Jewish people meeting with the Almighty. And each holiday has a different agenda. There are certain agendas that are happy. There are certain agendas that are not so happy. So a holiday, a Jewish holiday, a moed, is literally just a meeting with the Almighty. Now, that means that if you have a meeting and you come late or you come on the wrong day, then it doesn't work. You miss the meeting, right? So if you have a date with someone at 8 p.m. at a fancy hotel and you go at 9 p.m. to a different hotel, you miss the date. And if you're a guy, you better apologize because you blew it. Okay, now I know this is where it gets fuzzy because the American Jewish community loves making Jewish holidays convenient for them. Now, I am not critiquing. I'm just pointing out that I know this happens all the time. If Passover falls out on a Wednesday, people will say, well, the Seder is really Wednesday night, but it's not so convenient, so we'll do it Friday night when we can all get together. Now, God bless every Jew for every effort that he or she makes. But you would never say that about the Super Bowl. Oh, you know, the Super Bowl just doesn't work for me that it's on a Sunday. I really want it to be on a Monday, so I'm going to show up on a Monday. Well, you've missed the show. There's a certain energy, a spiritual dimension that the Almighty is sending out on that time-space continuum in the coordinates. And but when we do the mitzvahs on that night, we're plugging into that divine energy. And that's the meeting. That's what we're doing. And you can't just say, I'll do it a different night. You've missed the boat. And with that dramatic background, let us introduce an incredible story that we learned in this past week's Torah portion of Baal Oscha, which is in Bamidbar, the fourth book of the Torah. And by the way, a totally unsung book. It has got tons of action. It is crazy. Fast your seatbelts for what's coming up. And I think that it's not necessarily focused on because it's the book that we read during the summer, and most of the children are away at summer camp. But boy, oh boy, it is a fascinating book. All right, so here we go. In Parshas Baal Oscha, Bamidbar, which is the book of Numbers, chapter 9, Perek Tes, verse 6. Okay, and it talks about people who had been contaminated because they touched a dead body. Okay, quick timeout, 20-second timeout. What does that mean? That means that when we would bring the offerings back when we had a temple, at that time we didn't have a temple yet, we had a Mishkan, we had a portable mini temple. It was, we were still in the desert at the time, wandering, and one needed to be in a state of ritual purity. What is ritual purity? It means that you have not had a death encounter, an encounter with either a dead animal or a dead human being or something that has touched them. These laws get incredibly complicated. So on a basic level, someone who is tamei, impure, quote unquote, means that they have encountered death. In order to purify, there's different ways to purify depending on what level of impurity that you are. But it usually involves a mikvah. If you reach the high level of touching a dead corpse, it involves the ashes of a red heifer that had been prepared in a special way, sprinkled anew on the third and the seventh day. And okay, we're getting complicated. But the bottom line is these people became contaminated. They became tamei, and they were unable to bring the Passover offering in the desert in literally the first year after we left Egypt. And they were bummed. Now, who were these people? As an aside, it's good to know. And there's three options. You know, ask the Jews an opinion. You get at least two answers. Now you get three answers. So one could be those who were carrying Yosef's coffin from Egypt. That was one of the conditions that Yosef made, is that you'd carry my bones out of here. And they did. So the people who were carrying his coffin were contaminated and could not bring the Passover offering. Also, Aaron had four sons, Mishael, Elzaphan, and their older brothers, Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu unfortunately died in a tragic incident, which we can't go into right now. And Mishael and Elzaphan, their brothers, were carrying their bodies to be buried. Or the third option is it was just unidentified people who found a corpse, and there's a concept of a mace mitzvah that even to this day, if there is a person who dies and does not have anyone to take care of them, it trumps pretty much every mitzvah there is to bury a dead Jewish body. Okay, and whoever these people were, any one of those three, they say to Moshe, Lama Nigura, why should we miss out? Why should we be lessened by not getting to do the Pesach offering? We want to do the mitzvah too. So what, you know, and they said, but we couldn't. We were in the ritual state of purity. So basically what they're saying is, sorry, we couldn't make the Super Bowl. So could you make the Super Bowl another day, or could we figure something out? And what did Moshe say to them? Now you got to listen to this. Unbelievable. You want to know what leadership is? Moshe says an unbelievable thing to them. He says, drum roll. I don't know. Good question, guys. Let me go check with the boss. Let me go up, check with the CEO of the universe, which he did. He checked with the Almighty, and the Almighty comes back with a shocking answer. Another drum roll. Hope that doesn't hurt your ears. What did the Almighty say? He says, okay, we'll make another Pesach 1 month later on the 15th of Iyar, and we'll call it Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. Excuse me? Like, hello? We don't have this concept of a second Sukkot or a second Rosh Hashanah or a second Yom Kippur. What's going on here? What is... All of a sudden, the Almighty says we are going to make a second Pesach 1 month later where they can bring the Korban Pesach, they can bring the Passover offering. By the way, they can eat chametz, they can eat bread, but it's not like they reenact all the laws of Pesach, but they do in fact are able to bring a Korban Pesach 1 month after Pesach. And the question is why. The commentators give two explanations, but I'm sure more. I'll share with you two. One of them is there's a concept that mitzvah gereris mitzvah, that when you do a mitzvah, when you do a good deed, but when you connect with Hashem and you do what you're supposed to do, that leads to another mitzvah. You're in a good energy, you're in a good flow. And therefore, all three of these, whoever the people were, all three of these categories were doing a mitzvah, and they shouldn't be punished by missing out with another mitzvah. So they're calling Hashem on his own principles, saying, Hashem, you've taught us that a mitzvah, gereris mitzvah, a mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. How can you now have a mitzvah not leading to another mitzvah? The other reason, which, and obviously the two are connected, is that they had a deep desire to do Hashem's will. Deep down, they said, we want in. We do not want to settle for spiritual mediocrity. We don't want to be exempt from the mitzvah. They were exempt from the mitzvah. They were doing another mitzvah. Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, the concept is. They were involved in another mitzvah. They weren't able to do this. So fine, they were exempt. They didn't get an A+. They didn't get an F. They got like a no grade on it. And they said, that's not enough. We don't want to just slide by. We want to do the mitzvah. And therefore, Hashem created a new reality called Pesach Sheni for them. Now, this is a crazy, crazy idea. Now, you might think this is in the domain of only the righteous. But actually, there's a crazy story back in Genesis, back in Bereshit, where Esav, who... after being quote-unquote duped by Yaakov, even though Yaakov already had legally acquired the firstborn rights from Esav, who sold it for a bowl of lentils. But nevertheless, Esav was very upset that he was quote-unquote cheated out. And he asked his father Yitzhak for another blessing. And he says, what can I do? There's no blessing. And Esav cried two tears from the depths of his heart. He cried out. And Hashem on the spot created a new bracha for Esav. For Esav, the wicked one. But it was a moment of intense prayer and of desire. And Hashem created a new reality for him. Folks, what an inspiring message. When we reach out to the Almighty and we daven, we pray and we express and we pour forth our prayers to the Almighty, we can create a new reality. Create a new reality that did not exist before. I have to share with you, and I think they would be okay with me sharing this because they shared it at the Bris. This young couple today, they worked very hard, let's put it this way, to have a child. And Jenna told a very powerful story about how it was on Yom Kippur. They just had a treatment. And the two of them were crying. They wanted so much. It was on Yom Kippur. They opened their hearts, their souls, and they cried and they cried. And they said, we want to be parents. We want to raise Jewish children. And she told this story at the Bris today. And there was not a dry eye in the house. Now, who knows? I don't know what happened in heaven at that moment when this young couple cried genuine tears wanting to be parents. I'm not God. I don't play God, but we had a double header Bris today, I don't know, but you can draw your own conclusions from what happened. It was such a special thing, and they were so grateful and thanked Hashem for all the blessings in their lives. And this is a fundamental principle within Judaism, is that we believe in second chances. There's a famous verse in Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs, that says that a righteous person, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, seven times a righteous person will fall and get up. Rav Huttner, the famous Rosh Shiva of Chaim Berlin, writes in a letter, famous letter to a student, and most people read that it's even though the righteous individual stumbles, that he gets up. But Rav Huttner says, no, that's not really what the verse means. The verse means that because the tzaddik, because the person fell seven times, he became a tzaddik. He became a righteous person. That is what it means to be Jewish, is that Hashem loves us and he gives us second chances again and again and again. There's a beautiful story from a Pesach Kron. Talks about an employer, an employee, and they made, I think, electric lines, electric cables, and there was an employee, he was very good at what he did, and they got big contracts from cities and etc., like laying down electric wire, and they came in, and this employee was in charge of making the bids for the projects they were bidding on, and he put in the bid, and he got the offer right away. And he said, wow, that's really quick. Usually there's a back and forth and negotiations. He realized it was before the compute, everything was computerized. And he got the proposal, what they were asking to do, but he forgot to unfold a few of the pages. You have to unfold the whole thing. And he gave a quote that was literally over $1 million less than what the basic cost of the program was, of what it was to cost to do it. And he's nervous, and he literally cost the company over $1 million. He comes into the boss and he says, I want to resign. He says, I'm so sorry. And he explains what happens. And the boss looks at him. It was an Orthodox Jewish man who was the boss. And he says, don't be ridiculous. He said, you're our best employee. He says, everyone makes mistakes. And now I know you'll never, ever make this mistake again. Get back to work. Can you imagine what it takes to be a boss who suffers a $1 million loss and says, I believe in you. I'm with you. Even though you make a mistake, I'm willing to give you a second chance. So we learn a fundamental principle here, that Hashem gives us second chances, but we're supposed to be like Hashem. What a wonderful world it would be if we gave second chances to the people that upset us. This is a very difficult and high level, but this is what it means to be a Jew. When we talk about being spiritually excellent, this is a high bar of success, but we don't want spiritual mediocrity. We want spiritual excellence. And so I bid everyone adieu, farewell for an amazing week. May we all strive to be people who give others second chances. And we'll see you right back here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.